back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Dave Benton, sitting in for Tom Crawford on the Jack and Tom Show. Very happy to welcome our next guest, and that is Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com and covers the Big Ten. We're going to talk a lot about Big Ten football over the next couple of weeks before players even report, and we're going to have a lot of coaches joining us over the next couple of weeks as well. Hello, Adam. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jack. How you guys doing?
Good. You've got the fever yet? Is it Big Ten football time to you?
It's always Big Ten football time to me. Obviously, it wasn't a very quiet off season. Not much of a summer with all the expansion going on, but pretty excited for everything to get started here with camps opening up just 3 weeks away, it looks like.
Do you see this as a three-way race, or do you think that this is Ohio State's title to lose?
Well, I mean, you know, with everything Ohio State's done in the last 5 years, it's hard not to look at it like it's their title to lose. But, again, they have to go on the road to Wisconsin, to Iowa. And you never know. I mean, a team like Michigan State, if they can play to their potential and kind of solve some of their issues on defense, they might be in that mix. Penn State is a good team in a lot of spots. Obviously, quarterback is a major question mark going into the season. Really no experience coming back there.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, Ohio State is the team to beat, but I wouldn't call this race over before the season. It's going to be a challenge for the Buckeyes, but they have done so – they played so well on the road under Jim Tressel in the Big Ten. It's going to be tough to beat that team.
How do you see Iowa's quarterback Ricky Stanzi doing this year? He had some up and downs last year, a little problems with throwing interceptions. Do you think he'll fix that this year? Because in my opinion, they need him to have a great season.
Right, I totally agree. I talked to Ricky about this in the spring, and it's certainly he's a smart guy. He understands the problems last year. He understands in the back of his mind that he got lucked out in a couple of those games. Really, you throw that many interceptions and that many pick sixes, and your team wins 11 games, it just doesn't happen very often. So he knows he's got to cut down on mistakes, especially early in games. He can't put Iowa in holes, you know, week after week, and he has focused his entire offseason on that aspect. Now, they have taken more risks, it seems like, in the last few years, throwing down the field, and they're going to continue to do that. They have some pretty good wide receivers, Darrell Johnson, Koulianos, and Marvin McNutt. So if you're going to take risks, it does open up the possibility for some interceptions, but that has been his primary focus throughout the offseason.
You know, you look at Ricky Stanzi and you say, well, he makes mistakes here, he doesn't do this particularly well, but I'm not entirely convinced that Iowa wouldn't have been undefeated and had a chance to play for a national championship if he had not been injured. I think that game certainly was winnable for them. They were leading at the time, and then the Ohio State game, now they go into Columbus with a backup quarterback and take the Buckeyes to overtime. I just think Iowa maybe didn't get its due last year, and I'm picking Iowa to win the championship this year.
That's a fine pick, absolutely. You know, they did play with fire a lot, though. I mean, remember the Michigan State game?
Yeah.
Very fortunate. Even their first game, Northern Iowa, very fortunate.
Very fortunate.
So, you know, week after week, they were in close games. But, again, that's what college football is all about. Iowa went through a stretch, you know, 2006-07 and then into the first part of 08 where they couldn't buy a close game.
Right.
And they beat Penn State in that dramatic game to kind of knock Penn State out of the national championship mix. And ever since then, Iowa has been very, very good in those close games. That Ohio State game, they played great. I really think they had a chance to win that game at the end of regulation, played it a little safe. I think Kirk Ferentz probably, you know, he probably has some regrets about that. But no, that's an absolutely reasonable pick because Iowa has the best home setup of any team. You know, they get Wisconsin at home, Michigan State at home, Penn State at home, and Ohio State at home. So if they can defend their home field, they're going to win a Big Ten championship this fall.
And we were talking about recruiting advantages and which schools have the best talent in their backyard. I think what Iowa has done is as impressive as any school in the country when you look at the population base of that state and some of the surrounding states. And for them to be in the final eight of the poll four times since 2002 is absolutely amazing. And they've had more 11-win seasons. They've had three 11-win seasons, and Michigan State's never had an 11-win season.
Absolutely. It's a tremendous credit to Kirk Ferentz and the way his assistants and even their strength coach. I profiled their strength coach a few weeks ago, and he was talking about how they welcome the fact that they're not going to get the best recruits. They like the winners, the guys who played quarterback for their small town in the Midwest. They're going to work hard. They're going to change their bodies. He was going through all the quarterbacks that they've recruited, and it was a surprise to me who they were, because, Chad Greenway, obviously a huge linebacker now,
right.
Dallas Clark. These guys were, none of them were big time recruits, and Iowa just deserves a lot of credit for player development. That's what it's all about. I mean, recruiting is huge, and I follow it. It's an important part of everything, but I don't put as much credit on it as a lot of people. It's all about player development, how your coaches are, how your program's set up. And, Iowa does not need top 15 classes every year to contend for BCS bowls. They've shown that now for the last 8 or 9 years.
You talk about player development, and a guy who towards the end of the year seemed like he kind of finally got it was Terrell Pryor, especially in the Rose Bowl. Is this something that's going to carry over to this year, or do you think maybe he goes back to his old ways of good game here, bad game here? How do you see his season going this year?
Well, we'll have to see. He had a pretty good spring. I was out there in Columbus, and he does seem more comfortable with his decision-making. The footwork was always a struggle for him in the pocket. Obviously, running the ball, he doesn't have a problem with that. But I did see a more confident Terrell Pryor coming out of the Rose Bowl. It was a huge turning point game for him. A lot of it for him, guys, is Jim Tressel letting him make plays. Down the stretch of the season last year, they were winning pretty much in spite of him because they took the ball out of his hands. They were running the ball 40 times a game. So I think it's important that he enters the season with some confidence. That Miami game in week 2 is big. He's got to spread the ball around, make good decisions, and then maintain his kind of bread and butter, which is his running, his spread as a rusher, because he is awfully tough to bring down consistently.
Adam, I was going to ask you about Rich Rodriguez and what he has to do to keep his job at Michigan with the schedule they have now. They have Connecticut leading off, and then they have to go to Notre Dame. And in light of the Big Ten last year, did not win a Big Ten game in October or November. What does Rich Rodriguez have to do?
It's a great question. I've kind of gone back and forth for the last few months. Is it, does he need to win 8 or more or 9 or more? He needs to win some quality games. I mean, that's for sure. Anything less than 8 wins, it's going to be tough to see him coming back. And I had a Big Ten assistant tell me he could win 10 games, and his fate is already sealed in Ann Arbor. But I think if he can obviously get Michigan back to a decent bowl game, beat some quality teams. They face Wisconsin, they face Iowa. Obviously, beating an Ohio State in a major upset would be huge for him. They play Penn State. Those are the teams that Michigan needs to start beating and showing progress. On the defensive side, they have not been a good defensive team under Rich Rodriguez. I don't have as many questions about the offense. I think in year 3, given his track record and their personnel, they're going to put up points. But the fact remains, it's a lot like Notre Dame. Their defense has just been awful the last 2 years. They need to upgrade that side of the ball, and they lose their 2 best players in Brandon Graham and Donovan Warren. So that's the side of the ball where all my questions lie with Michigan.
We're talking to Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com, Big Ten guy. And now, when you talk about Michigan's schedule, what if they just compete? What if, let's say, they go 7-5, they beat Michigan State, and then they lose to Wisconsin and Ohio State and all those guys, but they compete with them? They're not blown out of the water in any games. Do you think that's enough for him?
Well, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting decision. Obviously, the off-field stuff, you have to have none of that go on anymore. They've had enough problems off the field. Obviously, the investigation, we'll see the outcome of that. I don't think they're going to get hit too harshly from the NCAA, but we saw what the NCAA did to USC. Now they're looking into North Carolina, so they seem to be more aggressive now with some of these investigations. So you can't have any more drama. And it would have to be some pretty competitive play. 7-5, I just don't know if that's going to get people excited enough to let him have another shot there in Ann Arbor. I think you need to maybe go 8-4 and really a quality win or two. Michigan State certainly would be nice for them, but you have opportunities there against some ranked teams. I would imagine Wisconsin, Iowa, Penn State, Ohio State are all ranked teams, and even UConn is a fringe top 25 team entering the year. So there's opportunities there. They just have to start cashing in on them.
Adam, you talk about USC, and that story was broken by Charles Robinson with Yahoo Sports. And there have been other cases, certainly with the Michigan case and the job that Mark Snyder and Michael Rosenberg did at the Free Press. Without that, it's very seldom that the NCAA uncovers something on its own. It's usually responding to previous reports. But I want to talk a little bit about the way that the media has changed and the way that you do your job now as opposed to the way maybe it would have been done 10 years ago.
Okay. Well, my it's certainly different. Having worked in newspapers for the first 4 years, 4.5 years of my career, and then working this way, it's very, very different as far as there's an insatiable appetite for information. I post quite a lot every day and try to cover all the teams as equally as I can, but it is definitely a different way of working because there's just so much information out there, so much being produced. So it has definitely been different these last couple of years, but I know that we're very pleased with how things have gone with our blog network, and I think you're going to see more and more of that as things go forward.
Do you find when you have things like blogs that it's more of a priority now to get the story out than it is to make sure that the story is done responsibly? It seems to me, maybe not, I'm not accusing you, but journalists in general seem to be less responsible than they used to be. Do you agree with that?
I would generally agree with that. I don't want to talk specifics, but
no,
I
I'm not naming say, names. I just
no,
in general.
No, I know. I totally know where you're going with that, and I agree. I think there's certainly a problem in our industry about it's better to be first than right. And I know that's something that we've dealt with and tried to deal with at ESPN and really tried to make sure that everyone understands that, hey, we would rather be, second and right than first and wrong. And that's, but yeah, there is, I mean, just with the way things are and Twitter and ways of getting information out so quickly, instantaneously, there's definitely some, lack of responsibility generally in sports writing. Yep.
Yeah, one other thing that always struck me with the changes, Adam, and I'm going back quite a ways here, but there used to be different relationships between the media and the coaches, and we used to have what was called the Big Ten Skywriters Tour. And we would go around, and there were probably 16, 18 of us who would go around to all the different campuses, and we would get to know the coaches, and then if you called them, they knew who they were talking to. And the schools went out of their way to try to cultivate those relationships. Now, that's very different now, and I think it's much more impersonal.
Oh, absolutely. I think, obviously I have some relationships in the Big Ten with some coaches, and but again, it's school to school. Certain schools are very helpful and accommodating, and some aren't. And it's a bit of a struggle, but I try not to, as much as I have to deal with these coaches year-round, not just during the season, not just from time to time, it is important to try to establish as much of a relationship as you can, but certainly people are more guarded. You have a lot more people standing in the way between you and the coaches and the players, so it is challenging in that way, but it certainly with the media environment, I understand why it's that way.
And I think now with coaches having their own websites, it's going to become even more complicated, and you're going to find coaches breaking stories on those pay websites within the universities. Adam,
sure.
Thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Adam.
Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com. We'll be back with our final segment. Jack Ebling here with Dave Benton, The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.